You're listening to SB Nation Radio. This is the Tony D Show.
All right, let's go around the NBA news and notes from the association. Jeremy Wu joins us, SI.com, to give his take on some of the teams that we're talking about in top five, bottom five. How are you, Jeremy?
Hey, man. Doing good as always.
All right, let me ask you what happened on Saturday when Golden State decided four of our stars are not going to play in a nationally televised, massively hyped game. One, did the NBA have a comment on this? And I know the NBA can't dictate to teams, play guys because we say so, but is there any way that the NBA cannot let this happen? Because they do have a good partnership with television, and I'm sure this was a bad look.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, and you know, this is just my theory, but I think their decision to do that, it was partially, I mean, I believe it was, they were playing something like 5 games in 8 days or something.
Yeah.
Which is a lot for any team, right? And I don't know the travel specifics of it. I haven't, you know, delved too deep into it. But, I mean, I think it was a statement from Steve Kerr, like, you know, if you want to, you know, put us in these types of games, you know, schedule it in a way that is going to be beneficial for everyone, you know. And I think, you know, with the new collective bargaining, you know, the game, there's going to be an extra week in the season. Hopefully those types of situations will be avoided. But it is a grind. And I think that is sort of what it pertains to. And also you can point to, you know, also San Antonio, without a bunch of their top guys too for that game. It's like, well, for you, if they're without Leonard, then we might as well rest some of our guys too. So ultimately a wash, but definitely you're right. I think not a great look for any party involved.
I agree with you completely. We broke it down, the travel schedule of going to Atlanta, to New York, to Chicago, home for a game, and then on the road to Minnesota, and the very next night going to San Antonio. All right, so with that being said, when you look at the recent struggles of Golden State and the losses that have piled up since they lost Durant, how much of a factor has been the travel schedule? Because it's rather surprising that they can't find a rhythm without Durant. You'd think that they would figure out who they are.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And but I also think it's just, you know, March in the NBA is sort of a time where, you know, performance can really, I think, vary. You know, and the Warriors are only a half game up on San Antonio, but I think they know that. Again, they've been a team, you know, now that they've done, and I said they set the record last year. I think they're a team that has sort of that longer view. So I think they are more focused in the playoffs. I'm not concerned about them per se, but I mean, I think there's a billion factors you can point to. It's just March is always a weird time for teams, and Golden State, I think, is not an exception. It's like, you know, as talented as they are.
Yeah, just one note on that, because again, you see a lot of people wanting to latch onto this to say, ah, here it is. Here's the thing we can use to kind of attack some and showcase a vulnerability to Golden State. But in the end, when they get Durant back, this is nothing, right? What we're seeing now, we won't even remember.
Exactly. Yeah, if all goes well for them, we're not going to talk about this in five months or however long.
All right, on the flip side of that, let's go to San Antonio. And they do this every year. They win their 50-plus games, and they play really well. And they had the situation with LaMarcus Aldridge. He's now been cleared, and Kawhi Leonard in the concussion protocol. But overall, how do you grade this San Antonio team from the other teams that we had? Same, or are they a little better? How do you look at this year's Spurs?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's tricky without Tim Duncan to know how they'll fare in the 7-game series. But I think they're right up there. I think they've done a good job in terms of, you know, they made pretty good moves in terms of, you know, patching up some roster holes. You know, I thought their offseason was pretty solid as usual. And, you know, I think that it's tough because when you talk about, like, how are they going to finish in the playoffs, well, that really totally has to do with more of the competition, I think, than the Spurs. You know, the Spurs are going to be right there. The Warriors have been such a tough matchup for them in the 7-game series. I don't think that problem has gone away. But I think this team is right up there. I mean, I don't think it's their best team ever, but I also think Kawhi is having probably his most impressive season to date. And you've seen Aldridge kind of, you know, move into a more comfortable role this year. I think they, you know, are right there if someone slips up.
Russell Westbrook with his 33rd triple-double, and there has been a good conversation around the country about the value of triple-doubles in the MVP race. They're a little easier to get, or maybe we're overvaluing them. Or how. When you look at the case that Russell Westbrook is making this year with his team the 6th seed in the West and doing it without Kevin Durant and the triple-doubles, when you evaluate an MVP case for him compared to LeBron or James Harden or Kawhi Leonard, how do you stack that up?
Yeah, well, I think it comes down to, I mean, you know, you look at the stats, you know, the every night, you know, the continual, you know, statistical dominance. And I think, you know, the through line with that is his effort every single night. Like, you know, that guy's relentless, and I think he maybe doesn't, well, he gets a lot of credit for it, you know, but we still maybe don't even really see, you know, how many superstars every single night are always playing that hard, right? So I think that's impressive. And, you know, the team is, you know, obviously goes as he does. And, you know, personally, I think I don't have a vote, but if I did vote, I think right now Harden would be my guy. But I definitely understand the Westbrook argument, and I think just for his nightly effort and obviously statistical, you know, what he's doing is unprecedented. So I actually, this is one of the few years where I'm really curious to see what happens with the award race.
Jeremy Wu joins us, SI.com, on the NBA. All right, over in the East, Kevin Love is expected to come back, and Cleveland obviously being a top seed in that conference, and a lot of people expect them to go to the finals, and that wouldn't be a stretch. However, if, Jeremy, you're looking at the Eastern Conference and you said, look, the team that is best suited to give Cleveland a run in the playoffs because of personnel and the way they're playing and the way they play at home, for example, when you look at Boston, Toronto, the Wizards, who do you see as giving Cleveland the biggest fits in the postseason?
Sure. You know, well, you know, I was going to say Toronto, but they've had these injury issues with Lowry. I mean, I think if you can assume Lowry is at full health and they have everybody, I think Toronto is the best matchup in terms of size and, you know, lineup versatility and the also experience, you know, of those three teams. I think Boston I like, but I also think they're thin up front. It may not matter as much against a team like Cleveland. So, you know, I do like what a full-strength Boston team can do against the Cavs, just in terms of, you know, lots of perimeter defenders, you know, a big guy in Horford who's been there before. You know, and, you know, the Cavs are, you know, they have, you know, good rebounders and, you know, Tristan Thompson and LeBron, but they're not a team that is, you know, going to really be able to go big on you too much. So it's like, I don't think Boston should have as much trouble patrolling the glass, because that's a big thing for them. So I like either of those two teams. Washington, I still am a little bit slow to fully come around on. But if, you know, if John Wall and Bradley Beal are firing on all cylinders, then, you know, they can definitely mix it up and make it interesting.
I want to talk about a team that's not in the playoffs, but is on the outside looking in, and that's the Miami Heat. They're a half a game behind the final spot in the East. If they make it to the postseason after that horrific start, Jeremy, what are we talking about with this team? Is Eric Spoelstra coach of the year candidate? I mean, how do you put into context what they've done since starting out bad and then really turning it on?
Oh, absolutely. I think if they make the playoffs, I think Spoelstra is a great coach of the year candidate. I mean, they really are working with spare parts for the most part, and they've turned it into a, you know, really like well-oiled machine. And you know, they're a team that's sort of better than the sum of their parts. You know, every year there's at least one or two teams that kind of, you know, get hot like this, but they have been able to sustain it for now going on 2 months, and it's really impressive. And, you know, I probably haven't watched enough of their games even, but it's awesome. You know, I feel happy for those guys. The franchise that they and you know, the other thing, the subtext is that it's a case against tanking, right? It's like, you know, everyone's like, oh, you know, we suck, let's get a good pick. But, you know, the fact is that doesn't guarantee anything. And, you know, I think Spoelstra is a coach now who should get more credit for what he did, you know, with when he had all those superstars, right? You know, I mean, obviously he wasn't the only reason they won, but, you know, he did something right. And so I think, you know, he'll get some credit, and it's awesome for that organization. I hope they make the playoffs. I think it'll be a fun Cavs Heat first round would be pretty fun.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. One other question I want to get. I got 60 seconds, but your thoughts on DeMarcus Cousins. It doesn't seem to be working out. He had a good night last night, but it does overall hasn't worked out in New Orleans. Is there a reason why, or are they still feeling each other out, or how do you evaluate what's happening to the Pelicans? Because they were supposed to make a push to that 8 seed.
Yeah, I think it's just an adjustment period for them. That's the short of it. Like, I think it needs to be a wait till next year situation. I think he's a player who impacts the game in such a distinctive way that no matter who you are, it's going to be hard to incorporate him. I'm not sorry about his mood swings. That's just DeMarcus, you know. So we'll see next year. Give him a little bit of time to figure it out. But I will say that, I mean, I think if this totally bottoms out, I don't know if what's going to happen with that front office. Like, I don't know if, you know, the coach or if Gentry or Demps is safe. Like, we'll see if they shake it up.
All right, Jeremy Wu, SI.com on the NBA. Really appreciate it as always, my friend. Thank you so much.
All right, take care. Thanks, man.